Pat Passbach is being interviewed for the Lansing unit of WOSL for our oral history project. Pat, when did you go overseas and why did you go?
I went overseas in December of 1945. I had graduated from Butterworth School of Nursing in June of 45 and was inducted in the Army in July of 45. I learned...
Did you volunteer or were you inducted, Pat?
I volunteered.
And then you were inducted.
And then I was inducted, right. In fact, I not only volunteered, they had closed enlistments at the time I had graduated. And although I had put in an application to join the Army, we were told that no more applications were being processed. And so I did go down and talk to the recruiting people down there in Chicago. And when I left, I not only had signed myself up, but four or five of my classmates. We were the second to the last class of nurses that went through the orientation program at the camp in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I learned that a very good friend of mine had orders to go overseas. This was in October, I believe. I immediately went to my own chief nurse. I had then, by that time, been assigned to Fort Custer in Battle Creek, and got my own name on the transfer list to go overseas. And we left Michigan early in December. We stopped at three camps before we finally got on our way. We were at Camp Miles Standish in Massachusetts, a camp in Georgia, and at a camp in New Jersey, Camp Kilmer. I called my mother so frequently, saying goodbye to her. She finally told me she wished I would get on my way. But we did get on our way. We sailed on the SS John Ericsson about the 18th of December, and it was a cold and rather rough trip on the Atlantic that time of the year. We landed in Bremerhaven New Year's Eve of 1945. There were about 500 nurses on board ship and about 2,000 troops. The nurses were the only ones allowed off the ship on New Year's Eve, and we were only allowed off to attend some New Year's Eve parties. I had been signed up to go to a hospital in Bremen, to be assigned to a hospital in Bremen with friends of mine. My name happened to be the last name on that list. As an aftermath to the New Year's Eve parties, several nurses were in a Jeep accident, and one of the nurses broke her leg. She had been assigned to Salzburg, so my name was taken off of the list to stay with my friends, and I was then assigned to a hospital in Salzburg. At the time, I thought this was the worst thing that had ever happened to me, because here I was, fairly young, never away from home before, and I was being separated from everyone I knew, going to a strange place with no one I knew. As it turned out, it was a very fortunate incident. I still claim as a very good friend a nurse that I met on the train as we went to Salzburg. And it was just a really great experience. As soon as I arrived in Salzburg, I knew I was going to really enjoy it. Of course, it was in the middle of winter. It was in Austria. It was in the mountains, a lot of snow on the ground, and it was just beautiful. We were assigned to the 124th General Hospital, which was right outside of Salzburg in a little town, a little village called Glossenbach. The hospital was in what had been an old SS barracks. The nurses' quarters were above the administration building. Our showers were on the first floor. We had to go through the administration building to take showers, this kind of thing. But it was really quite an experience. I was there about 3 months, but it seemed to me that I must have lived a lifetime in that 3 months. It was winter, of course, when we were there, and we had many opportunities to enjoy the winter in Austria. We had opportunities to visit places such as Berchtesgaden and see Hitler's home there. We were at Ribbentrop had a home somewhere that was used for R&R. We would be able to go there on trips, and it was really a great place to be.
Oh, Berchtesgadenhof is one of the most beautiful sights I believe I have seen in the world. Did you stay at the hotel there?
We certainly did. We would have every other Saturday and Sunday off, and we would go down to Berchtesgaden whenever we could, just so we could get a hot bath. We really enjoyed it. We loved the whole place. It was just, you know, just beautiful, and we were there a good many times.
Yes.
As I said, I was in I was in Berlin. I was in Salzburg for about 3 months. We really enjoyed Salzburg. We went into Salzburg frequently. We went to Mozart's and to the Rosarium there. I remember they had one little bar that we used to go to frequently in the evening to dance. They always had beautiful music there, and I remember they had a mirrored pole right in the center. Rather a disappointing thing, I went back to Salzburg a number of years later and went back to see what the same bar was like. And it really was not very good when we went back the second time. From Salzburg, I was transferred along with several other people to Berlin. In fact, the hospital, the 124th General Hospital, was closed down. And we were transferred to Berlin, and we went to the 279th General Hospital in Berlin. At that hospital, I worked primarily in the psychiatric ward there. And it was while I was in Berlin that Axis Sally came to the hospital and was assigned to the ward. She had been captured and was going through a series of psychiatric evaluations at the time before, I believe, before she was being placed on trial.
Did you get any
I was in Berlin about 4 months, and again, we seem to have had a lot of experiences at that time, met a lot of people, and did many things. Most of the patients that we had in the hospital were individuals that were just had the usual illnesses, that kind of thing. All of the war injuries, of course, had had been sent back to the States. I think probably the worst kind of injuries that we saw were simply kinds of accidents that happened. One that I remember when I was in Berlin, probably one of the worst things, was a fire. Some soldiers that were assigned to a motor pool had been cleaning the motor pool, and the gasoline caught fire, and they were burned pretty badly. And at that time, there was not the kind of treatment for burns that we have now. I think of the 6 or 7 that were burned, I think probably all of them died, and not from their burns necessarily, but some other complications of the burns. I think I have many impressions of Berlin. I think one of the impressions I have is of all the bombed out buildings, of the people trying to sell any belongings that they had in order to get a little of extra money. Of course, this was a time during the black market, and the marks were so under-evaluated. What $10 to us would be $100 to them. The exchange was so out of proportion. I remember seeing nice-looking people that you could tell were probably, before the war, had been upper-middle-class people, looking through trash cans and that, trying to find something. The people really had a pretty rough time of it during that period of time. While I was in Berlin also, of course, Berlin was a divided city. There was the American sector and the English sector and the Russian sector.
Was movement free for the Germans throughout the city at this time? This is 1946?
1946, yes.
Right.
Yes, the movement for the Germans was very free. It was free for us also.
Were they allowed to go to West Germany at that time?
I'm really not sure whether they were allowed out of Berlin. I would say no, because Berlin, of course, was in the Russian part of Germany. I can't remember whether there were 3 or 4 sections, but I think there were 4.
I've heard many Germans say that they were able to get out, but undoubtedly through a black market of an underground way.
Well, I would think so, because when we came, I can recall when we came in by train, there were always, when we went through a certain, the certain Russian sector, there were always Russians that came on the train and investigated and checked you over. And of course there wasn't too much of a problem as long as you were in a army uniform. I would imagine that the civilians might have a pretty tough time of it. But I'm sure that there were ways to go from one section of the country to the other if you just knew how to do it. I think most of the Germans in Berlin at that time were a little bit uneasy. I can recall one of the secretaries that we had working on our ward who was taking Russian because she wanted to be sure to be able to speak the language when the Russians took over. They actually never took over in that section, but they certainly did a pretty good job in their own area. I remember going to the opera in Berlin, and it was really remarkable. It was great. That's when I really learned, I think, to appreciate classical music and opera when I was in Germany and in Berlin. You must remember that I was assigned right after the war, and our principal mission was to replace other nursing staff that had been there for a long period of time. So they were closing down hospitals, reassigning people. So we didn't stay in one place very long, and we weren't part of a hospital unit the way people were that that went overseas together, set up a hospital, and stayed there, you know, during the war itself. I was transferred then from Berlin to Beit Ruth, which is in Bavaria, close to Nuremberg. And again, I was there for 3 or 4 months. In Beirut, we were assigned to the 120th Station Hospital. It was a very pleasant assignment, a nice place to be. I worked on the dependence ward part of the time. I also worked on the general medical ward. It was about this time that the dependents started coming over, and I was talking about the dependents from the States, but also some of the German and French wives, girls who had married American soldiers, were in these areas too. And for example, in the OB ward, we had some French and German girls who had their babies there. I think those of us that were in the hospital were sometimes a little disappointed with the reaction of some of the American wives who came over. It seemed to us that about all they did was complain about the lack of facilities over there, when it seemed to us at least that they had such much better quarters and access to the PX and supplies and all of that than what we did. Maybe we were just rather jealous that they had more than we did, and that's why we felt that way. I don't know. But this was in the fall of 46, and as far as the Army was concerned, things were getting a little bit back to normal again. We had many good times. We worked hard. When we were on nights, we worked 2 weeks of nights and 12-hour night duty. But when we had time off, we did many things. We went to ski lodges, and we went to some of the rest areas, and I went to plays and did a lot of sightseeing around the general areas. Of course, we had a lot of friends there, and I think we spent an awful lot of time dancing and going to parties, and it was, you know, good fun. While I was in Beirut, I had a chance to take several days leave, and I couldn't find anyone else with the time available, so I went by myself, but I wanted to go to the Riviera. So I got transportation, got on the train, I went to Paris. I spent several days in Paris by myself. I got on a train and went down to Nice and spent several days there by myself. But I think Nice was really quite a disappointment. I guess I've thought of our nice sandy beaches on Lake Michigan. And the beach at Nice is all it is big rocks, no nice sand beaches like we have at all. It was interesting. I stayed at a hotel in Nice called the Hotel Ruhl, R-U-H-L. It was right across from the beach. And we, of course, would put on our bathing suits and a little jacket or something and walk across the street to the beach. But the French people thought that was a little bit tacky. What they did would go down to the beach, have a big flowing robe of some sort, and change their bathing suit right there on the beach. Now that to them was the way to do it, not to walk across the street in your bathing suit, but you change right on the beach. One of the little trips I remember taking while I was down while I was in Nice was taking a little tour up to Grasse, which is up in the mountains above the Riviera. And one of the reasons why that meant something to me was that I believe my grandfather's relatives came from that area. That was his name, was Grasse, and I always heard that's where he came from. In November of 46, I had the opportunity of either signing up for another year or going home. All of my close friends were going home at that time, and it just seemed too long to stay another year. And so I did sign up to go home, and we left on the SS General Blue, which was not a very big ship. It was one of the general ships. And we, again, managed to cross the Atlantic in the wintertime. It was another rough and cold trip. One time I almost thought I was going to drown in the shower. Our ship was rolling so. But we did get home, got back to Camp Kilmer, and I was discharged from Camp Kilmer.
This was recorded by Pat Passbach, 4819 Gull Road, Apartment 16, Lansing, Michigan, 48917. Her telephone number, the area code is 517, and her telephone number is 321-3206.